Well, thank you very much. And I do want to just kind of throw this out there again. If you didn't get the note sheet and download it, make sure that you do that so you can follow along. Again, this is the new rules for Maverick Martial Arts school owners. This is not a drinking game. So what I mean by that is, obviously, when Sarah Palin was saying Maverick over and over again, people would have a drink each time. So don't do that. I don't plan on saying Maverick over and over again anyways. So with that being said, let's get right into it. The basic portion, we're going to go through the 10 new rules, and we're going to take about maybe 20 to 30 minutes to do that. And then after that, what we will do is, like Kathy said, we're going to allow you to ask any additional questions that you have, and then we'll wrap it up. We know that you're busy, so we want to just kind of, you know, bang these out for you. The first rule, as you can see on the second page here, is rule number one, and that's to strive to create a 10 to 100 in value for your program. So let me say that again. What you want to do is you want to strive to create a 10 to 100 in value for your program. And things that you can do would be you could include this is kind of some of the things that we do and some other school owners that I've talked to before and that we've helped out before. Some of the things that you can do is you can maybe give private lessons for free, or you can do, you know, special enhancements in their training. Maybe at no additional cost. You know, so for instance, you know, one thing that we do is the well, let me just kind of back up and say, if you charge, let's say you charge $139 for your program, when somebody comes in and they hear the $139 price, they're expecting $139 worth of value. And, you know, what this rule is telling us is that, you know, not only do we want to give them $139 in value, but we want to actually exceed that. And if we can double or triple that value to them, that's the most important thing that we can do. And so when you're designing your or maybe you're going back this year and kind of looking through either your curriculum or your sales process or what I call the road to success, you know, after they become a student, what are the things that you can do to provide them with extra value? And it doesn't necessarily have to be things that cost you more. It doesn't have to be something that's going to, you know, break your piggy bank, but something that the parents and the students would find value in. So, like, every once in a while, we'll do a teleseminar. Like last year, we did one on Bully Safe, and I actually had that teleseminar where people, you know, got on it. There was a note sheet as well, but then I also gave them a manual that they could use to go over the things that they learned with their kids. And now the nice thing with that is now I always have that. That's kind of like – I kind of like teleseminars, to be honest with you. But because once you actually speak it, it's there. It's something that you can always reuse. And so, you know, that's one of the extra added value things that you can do. It could be on personal safety. I've done teleseminars before for, you know, our staff – or excuse me, our clients, you know, or our students, or however you want to phrase them. And basically, you know, I did one that was called Safety Inside the Home and then another one that was called Safety Outside the Home. And so we actually taught them how to be safe inside their home, you know, how to burglar-proof their home, how to burglar-proof their behavior, how to protect their personal identity. And these are all things that you can, you know, read books on and take notes. And, you know, it's really, you know, not that difficult to create. So that's, you know, that's some things that you can create, some added extra value to your existing clients. Does that kind of make sense, Kathy?
Oh, yes, definitely, absolutely. You know, you definitely want them to, you know, feel like, wow, this is all I pay for this?
Yeah, and that's, you know, the number one person that you're going to first want to sell, obviously, is the parent. And I use sale as in I know sale is a bad word, I guess, for some people, but I guess I mean persuade or remind them about the value that's inside of your program. Now, let's move on to number two. Rule number two is that you must charge a premium price so that you have a large margin to provide extraordinary value and experience. And, you know, basically this is you know, price and service really do have a relationship. And let me say it again, price and service really do have a relationship. The more that you charge for your program, the more money you have to be able to give extraordinary value and to be able to give extra experiences to your clients. And you know, a lot of people, if they're, you know, if they're charging a low price, it's really difficult to be able to do that. It's really difficult to be able to give, you know, gifts on occasions or to, you know, send, I mean, even send a birthday card, because, I mean, a birthday card doesn't really cost that much, you know, the stamp and the paper to print it off or, you know, buy it. But the problem is, if you don't have the money to be able to work with that, if you don't have the capital to be able to work with that, you're not going to be able to do those other special or extraordinary things to create that experience that you want to create for your school. And you really, you know, as the martial art owners, we really need to take that into consideration that unless you want your school to be only, you know, kicking and punching, and even if you do want your school to be kicking and punching, that you need to still create, you know, extraordinary value in that and experience in that. If you want your school to be a personal development school, you have to, you know, create that inside, that atmosphere inside of your school so that people feel that and they know that you're giving them that that value. Kathy, with regards to, you know, creating an extraordinary value and experience, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, I think it's a really good concept to explore, because I think many times, you know, maybe because martial artists are so giving, we think about, well, let me just price it as I positively have to, because, you know, to make ends meet, or let me just price my program like right around what everybody else is in my area or just a little bit above. But to be honest, I had never thought of it that way, what you just brought to our attention, that, you know, hey, you know, why not build in another $10 or $15 a month or whatever it needs to be, so that I can give my student an occasional gift, you know, or a birthday present or a little extra perks that maybe do cost me a couple of dollars on occasion, or they take more time, and build that into my tuition price, rather than thinking the opposite way of like, oh, my gosh, you know, let me just charge the bare minimum. You know, you don't get anything but, you know, like you said, kicks and punches. So I really like that concept a lot.
And, you know, along kind of the same vein with that is that I had a and this will kind of go into the next one as well, but I had a student come up to me just this it was just this week, or excuse me, the parent, and they wrote me a note on their experience with our school and just how much, you know, their daughter has changed since she's been in our program, and they really can't believe, you know, how the martial arts does that. And, you know, the nice thing about that is obviously it makes us feel good as school owners, but it shows me that, you know, what I'm doing is right. If I'm getting those responses, you know, back from parents, then I'm absolutely doing something right. So number two, again, is you must charge a premium price so that you have a large enough margin. Basically, you just have enough money to provide that extraordinary value and experience. And with the really, and I apologize, because the time allotted for this teleseminar, really each topic, if we were to take each 10 rules, we probably could do about an hour on each 10 rules and give you specific measurable ideas that you could actually implement. So, and I apologize in advance that the majority of this is going to be kind of theory-based, to give you the idea to get you thinking, you know, but at least from there you can start off with the thinking process and come up with some things for yourself. If you're not charging over $100 a month for your basic program or for any of your programs, for that matter, I would really reconsider, you know, raising your price. And I guess I want to apologize for saying this in advance, but if you don't feel that the individuals in your community can afford $100 a month, maybe you need to move to the community next door. So let's move on to number three. Rule number three is provide a reason why your customers should do business with you and pay you a premium. So not only do, you know, you got to do what number two said, where it says you need to charge that premium, but now you need to provide a reason why in advance for your customers, before they become customers, but then also after they become customers, you know, provide a reason why they should do business with you and pay you that premium. One thing that you can do is kind of create a niche or an angle inside of your niche. And what I mean by this is your niche is the martial arts industry. And you need to, what I would suggest is create a niche inside of that niche. So, for instance, if you want to be a personal development school, then you really need to exploit that. You need to make sure that it's on all your literature, it's inside of the, everything that you do. It really needs to encompass the whole school. And, for instance, like one of our taglines for our school is creating today into tomorrow's leaders by teaching way more than just kicking and punching. And really what that does for me, it's kind of like a USP, a unique sales proposition. But what it really does for me is it allows me to be able to focus in on my decisions, meaning that if I'm going to make a decision to purchase a product or a curriculum or whatever, I really need to run it through that filter. Is this going to help me create today and tomorrow's leaders by teaching way more than kicking and punching? Or, you know, is it going to do something different? And so you need to provide a reason why your customers need to, do, you know, or should do business with you and pay you that premium. And I'll just tell you a quick story in regards to this. Last year I had a parent that bring in two children. I charge $169 per month. The first child's $169. The second child is 10% off, so it'd be $152.10. And basically what I did was I went through, we did our consultation, we did our two intros, and they earned their white belt, and after they earned their white belt, that's when they're supposed to sign up. Well, Dad told me that he wanted to check out some other schools as well, and I said that was fine. And in fact, what I told him, I even commended him for that, because it's important for him to investigate. If he's going to allow his children to be taught by somebody, it's important for him to investigate on the school and the instructors, you know, to make the right decision, because everybody has an impact on your child. It could be a baseball coach, it could be a football coach, it could be a teacher. But when you're paying somebody like a martial arts school, you really need to investigate that. So what I did was, I commended him for it. I told him that was, you know, that's exactly what I would do if I was you. And then I said, if I could give you just some things that you should look for. I mean, obviously I know the martial arts and what should be happening, but I said, if I could give you some things to look for, would you be interested in knowing what you should be looking for out of a martial arts school? And he said, yes. Well, I had a little pamphlet that I had given him on how to choose the right martial arts school. And basically it kind of went over, some information went over is, you know, that you need to, you know, obviously find a school that, you know, kind of fits your values. You need to find a school that not only, you know, teaches the curriculum, but actually has lesson plans, daily lesson plans. And I even told them that some schools will tell you that they have a curriculum, and that's true, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they have a daily lesson plan. Because there's a huge difference between the two. That for me, an important thing is some sort of character development program. And, you know, it could be any of them that are out there. But, you know, for me, the important thing is to also build that character along with the physical. So I told him that's something that you need to look for if that's what you want for your child, unless you want them to just learn kicking and punching. You know, I also told him to, you know, make sure that if it was me, I'd be looking for schools that are training their instructors on a consistent basis. I told him that, you know, we are the only full-time school in town. That allows me, you know, that's one of the reasons I do charge the prices that I charge, because I spend my time making sure that my instructors are the best that they can be and they could teach your child the best. Now, you know, best meaning the best that I can do, obviously, to be able to translate that to them. But you know, the instructors need to have some sort of ongoing training, and you guys may be familiar with this, and no offense if this is your system or whatever, but some systems have where the instructor tests for this instructor level, and then, you know, maybe they had to just do some physical moves and stuff and teach a couple of classes, and in my eyes, that really doesn't warrant the proper instructor and the instructor. So, you know, I informed him about that and what to be, you know, ask if they have an ongoing classes and stuff like that. Well, anyways, long story short, he went and you know, tried out these other schools, came back to us and signed up. And he basically said, because I asked him, I said, why did you choose to go with us? Because he knows that we're, you know, 2 to 3 times higher priced than these other schools. And he said, because the things that you pointed out, we definitely wanted, and these other schools couldn't provide. So, you know, you need to provide a reason why customers should do business with you and pay you a premium. And really what kind of resonated with me after that was since that worked so well, I actually started to kind of like what Tommy Lee talks about is overcoming objections, but you actually put the objections in there first before they become objections and solve them. So in my sales process now, I've strategically put those in there so that I take care of those in case there's some sort of underlying concerns that they're not even, you know, vocalizing like this guy did. So that's rule number three. Rule number four is to develop and build your business personality that stands out. Listen, people want to buy from people. We're in a people business. There are some things that we'll talk about later that you can automate, but you can't automate the instruction and you can't automate being there face-to-face to talk to somebody when they really need you. The thing about your business, in order to make it a personality and to make it stand out, these are so simplistic, but they're so important. And so basically you need to be caring, you need to be compassionate. You need to make your students and your parents feel, whether it's you personally or whether it's your instructors, but any time that you are communicating with them, they need to feel like they are the center of the world. They need to feel like they have your undivided attention. If it's your instructor that's communicating with them and working with them, they need to feel like that instructor is giving them their undivided attention. That's so, so important. Some other things that you can do with regards to creating a personality for your business is some things that we do is obviously sending birthday cards. We send get well cards. We send, congratulations cards if they had, if there was a parent that had a baby or something like that. We miss you cards, get well cards, if I didn't say that before. All these things are happening. Another thing that we do, and you may not be able to do this because my situation is maybe a little bit different than yours. I've got a lady that works nights for me on Mondays and Wednesdays, and she takes the weekly paper that we get at the school, and she goes through and she cuts out articles or pictures of students, current students or even former students or even parents. She's been with me for 9 years, so she remembers almost everybody. And, you know, she prints up a little card, and I sign it. It's a canned card. She made the card. It's, you know, it says, nice seeing you in the paper or something like that. And then I sign it and send it off to them. And it's amazing how many people have called back and said, hey, thank you for sending me that article or that picture. I didn't even know it was in there. So just small little things, and I'm sure there's a ton of other things that you do that you could think of immediately that I haven't even talked about. Because, again, we don't have a lot of time to go through everything. But really sit down and think about how to develop and build your business personality that will stand out. And just as an aside note, when it comes to marketing, you know, some of these feedback things that you get from parents, such as the parent this week that wrote me that letter, that's a testimonial. Now I just need to go ask her, hey, can I use this as a testimonial for my school? And I'm almost positive she's going to say yes. And now I can put that into my marketing pieces or on my website or in my autoresponders or wherever. It's important to take those things and use them as leverage to your advantage. And just and one more thing, anytime that, your students are doing something great, you definitely want to praise them for it. I'll give you a for instance. We had one of our students go to, and I forget, she won a trip to Hawaii and I can't remember exactly what she did. I know this sounds horrible. Last year she did it. She was in the paper. We cut it out, sent it to her. But then also what we did is we wrote a press release, that she's a student of our school and that she did this, this, and that. And we sent it to the weekly paper and it got in. And then, of course, you know, then we sent her that that article again, when it went in. She didn't have to do it. We did it. But it was also, obviously, there was a marketing angle for us that we got to use that because we got to put our name in there as well. So, again, just number four is develop and build a business personality that stands out. Kathy, do you have anything that you want to add to that?
I totally agree with that because, people like to buy people that they like, or they like to take martial arts from people that they feel are not just instructors that, you know, you teach and you're done and at the end of your relationship, but that really care about people in general. And I think it's really awesome to recognize them, like you're saying, not just so much so that, you know, to make them feel good about it, but it's more like, you know, they're probably too humble to come tell you, and just the fact that they know that you know can mean a lot. So, you know, I think that's a really key thing to do. And, you know, about the business personality, I mean, you know, all schools seem to have, like, a different feel when you walk into them, and I think that's part of the personality, too, is, you know, it starts from the minute the person has contact with you, whether it's your website personality or your phone personality, you know, because we all draw conclusions and make quick decisions as to whether or not we want to do business with that person or that type of person or type of business or not. So I think that's a really key point.
All right, let's move on to rule number five. Rule number five is on page number four of your note sheet, and it's create your business around your life instead of settling for your business, for your life around your business. Now, I do have to be transparent here and be totally honest with you, is in the beginning when we built TriStar, this was not so for me. I really was my business was my life, and you couldn't separate me from it. Now, with that being said, I was single. Obviously, I didn't, you know, didn't have any kids. I wasn't married or anything like that. And it's really all I had. I mean, I had friends and stuff, don't get me wrong, but I really did just really focused on the business. And that's not the case with most people. Most people, I think, from at least school owners that I talk with, they aren't in that situation. They have a family, and so it's a little bit different dynamics. But let me just go on to say that when I had a family, I found that that the studio did impede on things that I wanted to be able to do with them. You know, my kids have school events or sports events and stuff like that that I couldn't go to, and I wanted to be able to do that. And one of the biggest things that I decided to do after talking with my business partner, Dion Ricardo, we kind of thrown around some ideas, and one of the things that I decided to do was, you know, all the schools in my area and even all the schools that I knew were six-day-a-week schools. You know, so from Monday through Saturday, they had classes every single day. And so I decided that I wasn't going to have any classes on Saturday, that I wanted to see how this thing was going to work and see if I'd lose any business that way. And I didn't. I went ahead and canceled all the classes on Saturday, kind of moved my schedule around throughout the week. And then I even went one step further where now I don't even have Friday classes, excluding, let me just say that I do have a Friday morning kickboxing class at 6 a.m. and then one adult traditional at 8:30, and that's an hour class, an hour and 15-minute class, and then that's done. And then the rest of the day I'm off. So, you know, basically, you know, I'm really only a four-day-a-week school, excluding those two classes on Friday morning. And so for me that works. That may not be the model that fits you, but the thing is, the most important thing is that you really do need to create your life around your business instead of your business around your life. And one thing that you can do right now for this year is to mark out all the times that you're going to be off throughout the whole year. You know, I actually added two more days to being off this year. So really I only work about 10 months and 1 week out of the year. And that's important for me. And I haven't lost a student over it, to be quite honest with you. Let's move into number six. Rule number six is to you make the rules for your business. Okay, you make the rules for your business. Don't let the industry norms dictate how you will work or who you will work with. This is this kind of goes along the same idea that kind of Dan Kennedy talks about. And Dan Kennedy talks about, you know, go ahead and take a look at what everybody else in your industry is doing and then do the exact opposite. And more times than not, you'll be successful. And kind of, you know, what I've done is everybody inside of my industry here, like, you know, in my county, they all charge testing fees. They all do, like, a whole bunch of other fees for this, that, and the other thing. Well, I decided to do is to do one price. I charge $169. That includes everything. They get their first uniform free. Obviously, if they need to purchase additional uniforms, that's a cost. But when they sign up for me, you know, that's how I do it. You know, I didn't allow, obviously, the fear of other schools doing that, you know, for me to do that. Now, I know that some leaders say that you do need, you know, for revenue, you need to charge you know, testing fees and stuff like that. And don't get me wrong, it would be nice to be able to charge $169 and then $30 for a test. That would be, you know, X number of dollars more per, you know, year in my pocket. But For me, what separates me from everybody else is that one thing. So you could come up with some things, but here's another thing too, and you know, probably, and this is something that a lot of people are talking about in our industry per se, although it's starting to be talked about, is automation, automating things through you know, your website, automating through things through outsourcing. One thing that me and my business partner, Deanne Ricardo, have actually started to implement is a VA. This is common in internet circles, but using a virtual assistant, not necessarily having somebody physically there at your school to answer the phones during the day, but having a VA, a virtual assistant, and that virtual assistant not just answering the phones, but doing other things for you as well. So anyways, just with that, you make the rules for your school. However you want your school to run, you make the rules. Don't let any other standards or anything else like that, you know, stand in the way from you succeeding. Let's move on to rule number seven. Rule number seven is get your idea out there as fast as possible, even if it's not quite ready, setting must-hit deadlines, okay? Now, kind of what I mean by that is if you have an idea, the first thing you should do is go ahead and write it down. But then after that, set a deadline that you want this to be accomplished by and then start working towards that. And you're going to implement this thing whether it is ready or not. And the nice thing about doing that is you can always go back and after it's started, you can go back and correct things. For instance, you know, there's been many things that I wanted to write or to do that, like – as you can see, we're going to go through here. There's going to be one misspelled word, at least that I know of, that when we go through this note sheet. Now, I did this note sheet. I put it together. I knew the time frame I had to get it done. I know this isn't a big project, but I did it. Now, I found that there was a typo in it. Big deal. You know, I guess some people will say that is a big deal, but to me it isn't. The product is out there and it's done. Now, I could go back and correct it myself, or I could have somebody else go back and correct it myself, or, you know, have them correct it for me. But the thing is that I got my idea out there. I did it as fast as possible, and I hit my deadline. And so things in your school, you want to do that as well. You can always go back and correct it as you go. Let's move on to rule number eight. Rule number eight is measure and track your marketing so that you know what is working. Now, this is so simple that it shouldn't even have to be in there. But the problem is that we get so busy we don't ever do this. But we should track everything that we do. And that way we can make good decisions on our marketing. We need to know what's working and what's not working. We should even go down to get all the way down to tracking buddy days or parents night out or ninja night or whatever's happening. You should track that. Now, I will say, and I'm not necessarily pushing the product, although I think it's a great product, you had to use it to register for this call is event manager. The nice thing about the event manager is that it keeps track of those individuals. So if you do a buddy day, it's going to collect all 50 of those buddy day people inside of there. So that way when you do another buddy day, you could email those same people or market to those same people. They're more apt to do it again if they've done it once. And if they do it twice, they're going to have to buy from you, obviously. So you've got to measure and track your marketing so that you know what is working. Let's move on to number nine. Number nine is focus most of your time on your – this is my favorite one because I'm lazy. But anyways, focus most of your time on your core strengths and less time on areas that you suck at, all right? Your teachers at school are going to tell you, and a lot of people are going to tell you in life, that you need to focus on your weaknesses so that you can make them stronger. That is not true. If you keep focusing on your weaknesses, it's all it's going to do is it's going to keep you down in the dumps, and you're not going to be motivated to keep on moving forward. You need to focus on your core strengths. Delegate, outsource, whatever you got to do the areas that you suck at, you get other people to do it. Here's kind of what I mean. When I've done those teleseminar calls before, I don't write good. I speak a lot faster than I can write. My ideas flow out of my mouth a lot faster than they will flow out of my hand ever. And I've sat down to try to write, and I can't do it. I suck at that. So what do? I do the teleseminar. Even if it's a presentation that I want to do and I want to get it written down, I will speak it into a microphone or record it on the teleseminar or what have you, and then I give it to somebody to transcribe. Well, not only that, but what I do is I have somebody that I outsource this to, and they enhance the transcription. They're an English major. They make me sound good. I don't sound that smart, but they make me sound smart. And I know where my weaknesses are, so I find people to complement those. For instance, I know that I don't approach people very good when they have late tuition. Now, of course, I have member solutions to follow up on them, but sometimes we like to follow up on them as well. And so what I do is I have the same lady that cuts out the articles in the newspaper. Her name's Dawn. Dawn has been with me forever, and since this isn't her business, she has her own business, but then she works for me at night, and that's a long story why she does. But anyways, she approaches these people and gets them to pay what they're behind a lot better than I do. Now, some of the reasons why that I think that is because I probably give off the vibe that I'm a little weak in that area and they can feel like they can negotiate with me. Plus, I'm the owner, so of course they feel like they can negotiate with me. She's not the owner. They can't negotiate with her. And so if you find a weakness, get somebody else that's strong in that area, put them in there, and it sure will make your the next thing we're going to talk about, it's going to make your business a lot more fun. Let's move on to number 10 so they can wrap it up and go through any questions that you have. Number 10, rule 10 is to make your business and doing business with you fun. One thing that I say is this is my happy house, and if you're not happy or you're not making me happy in my house, then you're out. Now, I say that tongue-in-cheek, but it is true. I have let people go in my school. It's not something that I'm proud about, although the very first one I was, because it was a big deal for me to be able to do it. But it sucks when you have to do that, but it sure does make everything else better inside of there. But the other things that you do is obviously you need to make your classes fun. You need to make experiences in your classes fun. And one quick way that you can do that is you can do surprise things. You can do a surprise during that week or during that day where you have something going on. For instance, in December, this last December, I had coffee. The whole December, I had coffee for all the parents. And in the very last week, I had cookies and some other, little things that they could eat, the parents and the kids, for that last week before we closed, before Christmas. You want to keep your students and your parents guessing on, hey, what's going to happen? Like, for instance, there's been a few months before where I brought in a massage therapist, and she had a massage chair, and it's all back and neck and arm massages, and she'll give out massages to the parents. Now, you can do it where you're paying them. You can work out a bartering system where, they get clients from you or whatever. But the thing is, you want to come up with some creative ideas to make things fun with you. For instance, and this is coming up in a couple of weeks, my business partner, Deanne Ricardo, with his school, one of his schools, he has a famous, and you may not know this individual unless you're in the Chicagoland area, but he's a famous DJ from the Chicagoland area, and he's going to come into the one night at the school, and he's going to DJ, and he's going to play music while the classes are going on and stuff like that. He's going to sign autographs. He has CDs and DVDs that he's going to be able to sell as well to those people. All right, so that's the 10 rules for the Maverick Martial Arts School owner. Kathy, do you have any questions for me, or do we have any questions that have been submitted, and we can kind of go from there?
Oh, let me take a look up on the web. Let me open up the phone lines, too. Let me go ahead and do that. I need to unmute everybody. Is there anybody on the phone line that has a question for Dwayne? Okay. There might be some coming in onto the web. They probably need a few moments to type, but I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
Back when you were talking about niches, and making sure that, you're able to verbally, explain to somebody who's coming into your school, why they should train at your school, would it be probably a good idea to actually make some type of a report, on why people, maybe the top five reasons why you should train at XYZ Martial Arts, and actually include that on your web or do other things with that marketing-wise?
Yeah, actually what we have is when somebody comes in for a consultation, they have a packet that I send them home with, and they have my story inside of there. They have our story for the school. And the thing is, it's all conveyed in a story. People like to read stories. So it's written in a way that it's a story form, and it kind of captures people. And that's why it kind of makes it more personable. There's a personality behind it. So, yeah, absolutely. But for me, it's in a written story.
Okay, so that kind of ties in with your rule number 4 as well, then, developing a business personality. And we all do like stories, so that's kind of fun. So that kind of ties in with number 10 as well. So.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Gotcha, you maverick.
Uh-oh, somebody's drinking another drink now.
Uh-oh.
Can I ask a question?
Especially they didn't hear your... Sure.
I can ask a question? Hello?
Yes, sir. What's your name?
Sure.
I'm Larry with Appalachian Karate in Atlanta.
Yes, sir.
Hi. How you doing? You know, I'm not sure you mentioned it. You touched on track your marketing. But the important thing for me, of course, I'd like to tell you that my school is perfect and I don't have any problems at all, but that's just not true. But one thing that I want is my phone to ring. Do you have a marketing piece that has just absolutely been the cat's meow on making your phone ring?
To be honest with you, no. Now, I've done marketing like an ad in the newspaper or a free something or whatever that had worked at that time, but if you're talking consistently, no.
You know, it's funny. I have I'm running two ads in two different mediums, and they're almost the same ad, and one has received no calls and one's received a bunch of calls. I guess I just track that and go with the one that receives the calls.
Yeah, and you know what? What's kind of neat about that is I've done the same thing. We have a local paper here, and we have a weekly paper. And I now only, for the past 2 years, I only advertise in the weekly paper. Because what I found is I pull better results from that weekly ad as opposed to the daily ad. And really the only thing that I can kind of conclude is that people throw away the daily paper a lot faster than they throw away the weekly paper. And the reason I can conclude that is I've had people call me 3 and even 4 weeks out from that ad for that, for that offer.
You know, that's funny that you mentioned the paper. I've not advertised with a newspaper at all. I've done, local mailing magazines that mail to 5, 10, or 15,000 homes with direct mail. But, you know, several pieces, which that means I'm not paying for the whole piece all by myself.
Right. And that's not a bad idea.
I haven't tried the newspaper. For some reason I got it in my head that the newspaper wasn't all that effective.
Well, and let me stop and say this. What I would do personally to test that newspaper is I would get a press release inside that newspaper first and see if you can pull from that press release. So meaning like you have a free bully seminar or safety seminar or like a free report or whatever it is, and kind of test that out. Now what I do, just to be kind of transparent with you, with this weekly paper, is every month I do a press release, and I usually have one ad in there at least per month, because I feel kind of bad if I don't do it, but I don't buy the biggest ad all the time either. I only spend maybe about $130 on the ad, but I actually do better from the press releases because people will read the press releases because it's obviously not, they know it's not supposed to be selly.
Gotcha. Yeah, I do the first two things that you mentioned, the bully classes and the safety, stranger safety classes as well. Maybe that would work. I don't know. Anyway, my phone only rang once during your seminar, so I'd like for it to ring more often.
If only listening to Dwayne could make your phone ring.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be great for everybody. That would be awesome for everybody. And just as an aside note, really, too, is follow-up on side of leads and prospects that you do get is really, really huge. And just as an aside note, content pitch is a good idea to follow, meaning that you mail them either through email or snail mail or whatever you want to do, something content, and then a pitch. We really got to try to be careful not to do pitches all the time, especially if it's a lead. Is that, huh?
Yeah, I actually do all the above. The challenge that I run into, I wish I had some little gremlins running around that would do them for me.
Say that again?
I wish I had some little gremlins running around that would do those things for me.
Well,
like your lady at night.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I understand. You need to find somebody to do that. That would be something that you would want to outsource to somebody.
All right. Well, thank you. I won't hog your time, so you go ahead with somebody else.
All right. Yeah, and if you have another question, go ahead and ask. You know, if you think of something later, that's fine. Kathy, we have anything come in through the Internet?
Let me just double check. No, not as of yet. I do have one question, too. I took some notes, of course, while you were talking. And back to your rule number one about striving to create a 10 to 100 in value ratio for your program.
Mm-hmm.
You gave some examples of things that you do, like free seminars and things like that. First of all, can you give just like a couple more generic examples of what people might be able to do that doesn't cost them anything extra? And can you also just brief, I know this might sound really simple, but can you also brief us on how to effectively communicate that? Because I think I'm getting a lot of questions nowadays about, you know, the economy and even people with jobs. Sometimes they might be more hesitant to spend money. So it seems like number one would be really, really important, not just to have, but to communicate actively.
Yeah, and I think that part of that goes into the story that I talked about before, meaning that, let me kind of break this down. When somebody comes into our school and we do a consultation with them, they get a packet of information. It has a whole bunch of information inside there, obviously, because I just said that. But, one is the story about myself, the story about, you know, really how I want to, you know, to affect my community, all those type of things. Well, and then when they come back after their first intro, they get another packet of information, and that's like a bunch of testimonials that I send them home with and a DVD that has a whole bunch of testimonials on there. So, if they read that or they watch the DVD, and, of course, I kind of play it up where I say, I have a DVD on our karate school that you can watch. You guys have a DVD, and the kids are like, wow, yeah, I want to watch I want to watch karate. Well, there's very little karate on there, but there's a lot of parents and a lot of students talking about, how our school has helped them and specifically what, has helped them in. So that's one way that I'm able to communicate that to them and create that value of, especially by the first intro, because by the first intro, or I should say after the first intro, they know what the price is. I tell them what the price is before they get to the second intro, because that's where I want to sign them up at. And so that's one of the ways that I create that. The other way that I create that is, when they tell me, when they sit down and they tell me the things that they want their child to gain through the martial arts, then I in turn use that in my introductory process. You know, so if they want focus or discipline or, control or whatever, those are the things that I point out while I'm teaching. So if it's, I want my kid to have confidence. Well, we all know that part of confidence is being able to look somebody in the eye. So when I'm talking to their kid, we're doing the move or whatever, I say, man, I really like how you look at me in the eyes. That's perfect. That shows a lot of confidence. And so it's those small little things that you point out to show the parent the value behind it. Does that kind of make sense?
It does. I can see where between all the things that they get before they even start their intro from you, the DVDs and all the information, it's kind of like a step-by-step process that really – it probably makes them think, oh, my God, this is going to be so expensive. And then when they see their price, they're probably like, oh, okay.
And that's really what you want to do. If you really can create it where they think it's going to be so high price that they can't afford it, and you come back and tell them, they're like, whew, I thought it was going to be higher,
Right. Dwayne, can you tell us just a little bit about the martial arts dashboard? I know we're talking a lot about trying to automate things or get gremlins to do things for you, as Larry was saying, or just, to delegate some things out so that you can kind of build your business around your schedule, what you want it to be, instead of letting it control you. So can you kind of, let us know? Some of us may not know all the things that you have, plus your other website. Can you kind of tell us a little bit more?
Certainly. Actually, what they could do is, if they want, I did put a on the website there, they can click, or they can go to free martial arts, or what is it, martial arts biz, yeah, martialartsbizblueprint.com. Anyways, basically what that report is, it talks about automation, and it talks about, how to get a lot of things automated in your business. Of course, there's information on there about the martial arts dashboard, but you don't have to use our product. The most important thing is that you do learn how to automate things. If you haven't read this book, and let me just kind of throw this out there, if you haven't read this book called The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. If you haven't read that book, I would encourage you to read that book, because that book will really change your mindset on being able to automate things for your business. Now, everything that he talks about in there, we can't implement everything into our business, because his was more of an internet business. but there's a lot of principles and concepts that we can take and use into our business. So, again, that's called the four-hour work week, and he literally, that's what he prides himself in, is being able to work four hours a week, and then he's done. I guess I could say I have a four-day work week. I work 4 days, and then I'm done. So, yeah, you're more than welcome to check any of that out. But the most important piece is to, if you can, automate as much as possible.
I have one question.
Thank you. And
yeah, go ahead.
Well, what I tried that website earlier, and I just didn't get it to work. What is that website again?
If you go to the bottom of the teleseminar page, you should be able to click on that right now. If you
I'm not on the page.
Hey,
okay, are you in front of a computer right now?
I am at a computer.
If you just type in Ask ASK Duane Brummett.
How do you spell that?
It's D-U-A-N-E, B as in boy, R-U, M as in man, I-T-T.com. That'll take you to the teleseminar webpage that we're at right now.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, and then right at the bottom there, there's one for that I put on there talking about the Joe Galley had sent me, somebody had a question, or maybe many people had questions about phone book ads, so I put that on there too to answer that question. But right above it, there is a link to the actual blueprint that you could download it.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Hey,
Kathy.
We have a web question now as well.
Uh-huh.
And the question is, it just says, I have a decent stack of testimonials. How can I make the best use of all these great comments about myself and my school?
Personally, what I would do is I would put it into some sort of, you know, put it on in a Word document and give it to the people when they come in. That's the very first way that I would do it. The second thing that I would do is I would take them and I'd put them on my websites, you know, and I did say plural, so if you have many websites, I'd put them on your websites. The other thing is if you have email autoresponders, I would always put one into an email autoresponder. Another thing that you would do is if you do snail mail follow-ups, you do conventional mail follow-up, I would take and I'd put those strategically into whatever it is. So, like, if you were sending a postcard about focus and you had a testimonial about how you increase somebody's focus, put that in there. Use them inside of your ads. So if you do an ad, I would hardly ever put an ad in a newspaper without having at least one testimonial, some proof of evidence. Those are, I mean, I'm sure you could use them more than just that, but that would be the quick ways. Everybody you know, stay at it this year. I know that a lot of people are worried about the economy and stuff like that, but just keep banging away at it.
All right. Thank you very much, Duane.
All right. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye, everybody.